Good morning. It's good to see everyone here. We do have a very good number. We have some visitors and we have some that we don't really call visitors anymore, but they're coming part of us that were a part of us that have gone on and come back to visit sometimes. And so it's good to have everyone here. The world recognizes today as Mother's Day, and it is always a good thing to remember our mothers and what they've done for us. I got to see my mother Friday night and go and spend a little time with her, and it's always good to see her and spend some time and be thankful for our godly mothers that we have. This morning, I would like to talk to you about a subject that was one of the members here came to me and asked me to, if I would work on it and present a lesson on it, and it has to do with what he called the Godhead or the Trinity. Okay, and so I thought that would be a good thing for us to look at as well. It's something that we need to understand about. Okay, so you may ask the question, well, what does the term Godhead mean? Is there one God, or is there two gods, or is there three gods, or more? Are there three persons in the Godhead? What's our relationship, or what is their relationship to one another? And so there's a lot of things that we think about when we think about the word Godhead or the term Trinity. And I just want to say this: I'm not going to use the term Trinity anymore. I'll kind of use Godhead as we go through the lesson. Not because I think it's a bad word or nothing. It's not. It's just that the word Trinity is not used in the Bible. It's not found in the Bible anywhere. But I think the idea of the Trinity is found in the Bible, and we'll look at that this morning. But we want to look and see, what does the Bible say about the Godhead? Okay, and so let's, I guess as we begin, let's define some terms, right? Let's define the word Godhead and what it means. It actually is from a word, theotes, there, and it means divinity or divine nature. Okay, and we're going to look at some passages in the Bible that use that word, and depending on, I can't speak, depending upon which translation that you're using, it may have the word Godhead, or it may have the word divine nature in there, okay, in place of Godhead, depending on what you have. But anyway, divinity or divine nature, then the word divinity just means the quality of being divine. Don't you love those definitions? When they have a word and they just kind of say, what's the quality of divine? They use part of the same word. You don't understand that. Well, what does that mean? What is divine? Well, divine means being a deity. And a deity itself is what we would, now we're getting down to what we understand, a supreme being. Okay, so a deity, a god, what we would call a god, or the god, the supreme being. Okay? And so when you see the word Godhead, you think of the divine nature of God, the divine nature or the supreme being, divine nature of the supreme being, which is God. So that's what the word Godhead, and you see that word Godhead, that's really what it means. Okay, so there are three passages in the Bible, okay, that use this word or has this word in it, the theotes, that is translated that we would either Godhead or divine nature. Okay, depending upon which translation you have. If you look at the Old King James or the New King James Version, you're going to see, first of all, Acts chapter 17 and verse 29. Says, for as much then as we are the offspring of God, this is Paul speaking, remember? And he says, we ought not to think that the Godhead is like unto gold or silver or stone, graven by art and man's device. So there's the first word that you see, Godhead there. Remember there, that's talking about the divine nature of God, okay, if you will. The New King James Version renders the word divine nature here, which is the true meaning. It could also be translated the deity, depending upon what translation you have. It's a perfect way then from this verse to distinguish between the one true God and the conflicting gods of paganism. Remember, that's what Paul was talking about in the context there in Acts chapter 17. Okay, so he's talking about the one true God there. Okay, the distinguishing feature there. Another, the second passage that we're going to look at is Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1. It says, for the invisible things of God, this is Paul speaking to the Romans, for the invisible things of Him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even His eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. So once again, he's referring there, and when he uses the term Godhead, to the divine nature of the Creator. His limitless power and infinite wisdom that are demonstrated in His creation. And that's what he's talking about there in that context, right? He's talking about the fact that God's eternal power and His divine nature can clearly be seen by the creation and all the wonderful things that are there in that. So there's our second verse that has that. And here, and our third verse is found in Colossians chapter 2 and verse 9. Colossians chapter 2 and verse 9, it says, for in Him dwells, or dwelleth, all of the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Now this passage is speaking about who? It's speaking about Jesus, right? And so notice that it says that the divine nature, or the Godhead, is manifest or made known in Jesus Christ. Okay, so here the term means deity or divinity, speaking about Jesus. Okay, so there are three passages then that talk about the Godhead. Okay, or has the word there, the term that's translated Godhead in English for us. Okay, so if we go back to the beginning, okay, we go back to Genesis chapter 1 and verse 1, we see there that in the creation we have the term God. In Genesis 1 and verse 1, it says, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. God created the heaven and the earth. Now, the Hebrew word for God in Genesis chapter 1 and verse 1 is Elohim. Elohim comes from the Hebrew root, meaning strength or power. Okay? Now, the I am that's on the end of Elohim, okay, the I am on the end makes it plural. Okay, now stay with me and listen to this. However, all of the verbs in the text are singular. Thus, the Elohim in Genesis 1 and verse 1 is a plural noun with a singular nature. It's a plural noun with a singular nature. What that means is this. It's the Godhead. And when he says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, what he's saying is that the Godhead, or the divine nature of God, is made up of what we know as three beings in a singular nature. Three beings in a singular nature. That's Genesis 1 and verse 1. Okay, now we go now to Genesis chapter 1 and verse 26. Genesis 1 and verse 26. It says, then God said, let us make man in our image, according to our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, over the cattle, over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. Now my question is this. From this passage, who was God talking to? He says, let us make man in our image. Okay, now some people might want to try to say, oh, well, he was speaking to all the angels and all the heavenly hosts that he's saying. No, that's not right, because we're not made in the image of the angels, are we? What are we made in the image of? We're made in the image of God. So when he says, let us make man in our image, he's talking to what we would term the Godhead. Okay, the Godhead. We have one member of the Godhead talking to the other two in this passage. Okay? Someone says, well, who was there during the creation? Right? Who was there? Well, obviously they were all there, okay? But Genesis chapter 1 and verse 2, go back there to verse 2. We looked at verse 1, but go back to verse 2 and listen to what it says. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was on the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. Well, obviously the Spirit of God was there, right? The Spirit of God was there in the beginning, in during the creation, because it says that He was. Also, we read in the New Testament, in John chapter 1, if you would turn your Bibles there, John chapter 1. John chapter 1. We see that Jesus was also there in the beginning. John chapter 1 and verse 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through Him, and without Him nothing was made that was made. Okay, so it says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, and the Word was with God, and the Word, He was in the beginning with God. So He was there. So we'll say, well, that says the Word. How do we know that was Jesus? Well, you look at chapter 1 and verse 14 of John, and it says, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Well, who's He talking to? He's talking about Jesus. Jesus is the Word, right? So Jesus was there in the beginning with the Holy Spirit and with the Father in the beginning before creation. There are examples also in the Bible, or shows us that we see all three of what we consider the Godhead at one time. Okay? And so let's look at these passages, and it'll help us also to understand that the Godhead is made up of three distinct beings: the Father, the Son, and what we call the Holy Spirit, or the Holy Ghost. In Matthew chapter 3, verses 16 and 17, this is during the baptism of Jesus. Notice what it says. And when He had been baptized, Jesus came up immediately from the water, and behold, the heavens were opened to Him. And He saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and alighting upon Him. And suddenly a voice came from heaven saying, this is My beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. I remember, and this every time I look at this passage now, it reminds me of there several years ago, and this, it's funny, the older you get, several years ago becomes a little bit longer than what it used to be. You know, used to be several years would have been 3 or 4 years from me. But now several years is probably about 17 or 18 years ago now. And I remember one time that I was talking to a man, and we were talking about God. And he could not understand the point that God is made up of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. He goes, I just think that it's all God. You know, and God was the Father, but then when He came to Jesus, He was God there. And so Jesus was God, and that was when He was there. He was saying there was just different forms, but He couldn't understand that they were all three. You know, there was three of them that made up God. And I said, well, let's look to this passage right here. And I read this passage, and I didn't have to say a word to him. He just, all of a sudden, you could see the light bulb went off in his head. He said, yeah. He said, this makes sense. Because Jesus comes up out of the water, and it says the heavens were open to Him, and He saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove upon Him. So we've got Jesus who's on the earth. We've got the Spirit of God that comes down upon Him. And then all of a sudden, a voice out of heaven speaks. This is My beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. You see all three of them right there. They're all three there. They're all three God. But they're separate, aren't they? They're separate, distinct personalities, if you will, okay, or beings. And let me tell you this. I do not understand exactly how they are, okay? And I'm not, and by the end of this lesson, you're not going to be able to say, well, yeah, this is exactly what. All I can tell you is, this is what it says, and I believe it, okay? I believe it, and when we get to heaven, maybe we'll get a better understanding. of what they are. But we'll try to see what we can learn, though, from the passages that God gives us. So there's one example. Another example is found in John chapter 14 and verse 16 beginning. Jesus says, now this is Jesus speaking, "And I will pray the Father. I will pray to the Father, and He will give you another helper, that He may abide with you forever, the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees Him nor knows Him. But you know Him, for He dwells with you and will be in you." So notice Jesus is speaking. He says, "I'm going to pray to the Father, and the Father is going to send you another Comforter, which is the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of truth." So you have all three right there in those verses. Jesus is speaking about all three. Okay? And they're all three part what would make up the Godhead. Okay? Or the God family, as we sometimes refer to it. There are other passages. We're not going to take the time this morning to look at them, but write these down. Okay, you can look at them. 1 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse 14. You're going to see the same thing, all three there. Romans 15 and verse 30. And 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 2. Write those down and you can go back and look at those. If I didn't miswrite those, but I think those are correct. 1 Corinthians 13, 14, Romans 15, 30, and 1 Peter 1 and verse 2. So these are passages that show that the Godhead is made up of three distinct beings. Okay, three distinct beings. Okay. This may be a chart that you may have seen in the past, or in some people, there's different charts, there's different things that are going around. This one I pulled from, it was a chart that was put together by Farrell Jenkins and another man that they worked on this, but it's basically, don't get all shook up in it, okay? Let me just show you what it's showing us. It's showing us from passages that the Father, like from 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 3, that the Father is God. Okay? And so when you see that, He's part of God. There's that Elohim, right? Or there's also Yahweh there, YHWH. So He's part of this. He's part of God. Now the Bible also says this. We've already looked at John chapter 1 verses 1 through 14, that Jesus, the Son, is also God. Okay? Jesus is also God. And something else I point out, it's on the chart here that I didn't say, but you remember another name for Jesus is Emmanuel? You know what Emmanuel means? God with us. Okay, it would kind of defeat the purpose of the name, right, if he wasn't God. His name means God with us. Okay, so Jesus is God. Don't ever get to the point where you say, oh, God. No, Jesus is God. He says it. His name says it. Okay, He is God. The Holy Spirit, from Acts chapter 5 and verse 3, let's turn there. We haven't read that passage yet. Acts chapter 5 and verse 3. And by the way, this is going to show us that the Holy Spirit is God, but just one quick more thing back on Jesus. We just had a lot of, we've been studying the I Am's of Jesus, right? So we've already talked about it. There's a lot of passages that show that Jesus is God, right? And there's not, I just brought up the one here that's on this, but there are many passages we could turn to. For instance, John chapter 8 and verse 58. Remember what Jesus said, "Before Abraham was, I am." Okay? He's using the same word, and that's the word there. This is YHWH there. It's used in there that God used. Okay, in that passage, he's saying, "I am God. I am eternal." Okay? He is the God. So Jesus is God as well. But the Holy Spirit is also part of the Godhead. Acts chapter 5 and verse 3. This is everyone knows this. They remember Ananias and Sapphira? They sold a possession of land. They're going to go and they're going to give it to the apostles, but it says they secretly kept back part of the land. It's part of the money. But they didn't tell the apostles they were keeping back, but they presented it like they were giving everything. I mean, look at us, right? We sold this land and we're giving you all the money to it. Okay, that's the way they were presenting themselves to it. Look at verse 3. But Peter said, "Ananias, why has Satan filled your heart to lie to the Holy Spirit and keep back part of the price of the land for yourself. While it remained, was it not your own? And after it was sold, was it not in your own control? Why have you conceived this thing in your heart? Now listen, you have not lied to men, but to God. Wait a minute. I thought it says he lied to the Holy Spirit. Verse 3 says you lied to the Holy Spirit. Yes, it did. Verse 4 says you didn't lie to men, you lied to God. How can that be? That tells us the Holy Spirit is God. Okay, that's the point that we're trying to get from this, right? The Holy Spirit is God. So that goes back to our chart here. The Holy Spirit is God. Now, from passages we've already looked at, we're not going to go back and look at them again, but Matthew 3, 16 and 17, the baptism of Jesus, we see that the Holy Spirit is not the Father, and the Father is not the Holy Spirit. Right? We talked about that. They're separate beings, right? Because they were, remember, the Holy Spirit came down in the form of a dove, ascended upon him, but yet there was a voice still in heaven speaking. So God the Father was still in heaven, but the Holy Spirit and Jesus were down on the earth. You see? So they're not the same. The Father is not the same as the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit is not the same as the Father. John 14, 16, we looked at that one as well. The Holy Spirit is not the Son. And the Son is not the Holy Spirit. Remember what Jesus said? He will send you another Comforter. If they were the same, he would say, well, you're going to get more of the same, right? You're going to get the same. That's not it. Okay? They're separate. They're not the same. You see the point? Okay? So the Godhead is made up of three distinct personalities, three distinct beings. Okay? That's what we're trying to see. That's what we're trying to say from the Bible. One little side note. Some people want to call the Holy Spirit it. Okay? The Holy Spirit is not an it. It is a he. Okay? Passages look at John 15 and verse 26. John 15 and verse 26 says, but when the Helper comes, this is Jesus speaking, when the Helper comes, whom I shall send to you from the Father, by the way, there you go, you're seeing all three again, whom I send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth, who proceeds from the Father, he will testify of me. Okay? The Holy Spirit is a he. He has all of the qualities of personhood, if you will, okay? He is not some nebulous energy that's sent out from the Father. He is not some puppet controlled by misguided men on the earth. He is not some mysterious, mystical force that is totally incomprehensible to the human mind. He is the Holy Spirit of God. Okay, and He is God. Okay, so next question. We got all that, right? Everybody's good. Everybody's good on that. All right. Glad to hear. Okay. Here's a question. So then, what about the passages that teach that there is only one God? We just got through saying that the God is three distinct beings, right? Okay, three distinct beings, but yet there are passages that say that there is only one God. Well, the Bible teaches us that there is one God. Let's look at some of these verses. Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 4. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. There's one, right? Isaiah 44 and verse 6. Thus saith the Lord God of Israel, and His Redeemer, the Lord of hosts, I am the first and I am the last, and beside me there is no God. There is no other God, right? Besides me, He says, there is no other God. 1 Corinthians chapter 8 and verse 4. Paul says, as concerning therefore the eating of those things that are offered in sacrifice unto idols, we know that an idol is nothing in the world, and that there is none other God but one. There is none other God but one. Well, I thought you just said, though, that there are three. Okay, there are three. Well, let's talk about this. Let's think about this for a moment. As we've already seen, the Godhead is made up of three beings who are of one divine nature. Remember we talked about that at the very beginning, Genesis chapter 1 and verse 1, the use of the word there? Remember we talked about it's in the plural sense? Okay? The God, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, but they are of one divine nature. You cannot throw out the doctrine of the Godhead and still have a Bible that makes any sense. Okay, you can't throw out one and then say, oh yeah, well this is it. It's plain the Bible teaches there are three persons in the Godhead, as we already talked about that. Three persons in the Godhead. The passages that refer to there being only one God are referring to their divine nature or deity. Right? There are three distinct persons, but there's only one divine nature, one Godhead. Okay? 1 John chapter 5, so we're going to talk more about that in just a minute. 1 John 5, 7 and 8. There are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost. And these three are one. There it is, guys. There it is, right? Okay? Everybody goes, wah. You know, you see something in front of everybody, nobody's doing it, right? You see, but here's the passage. This is a great passage, okay? There are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost, and these three are one. These three are one. Jesus said in John chapter 10 and verse 30, I and my Father are one. Well, how can they be one? They're separate, right? They're two different things. But it says, I and my Father are one. The Jews took up stones to stone him. They understood exactly what he was saying. He was saying that I'm God too. That's what he was saying. Okay? They didn't argue about, well, what are you talking about there? You know, so no, they understood what he was saying. That's why they wanted to stone him. These three are one. How can the Father, Christ, and the Holy Spirit be three and one at the same time? Right? That's the question. How can they do this? So that's when we got to start understanding what he means when he says we are one, right? Or they are one. What does it mean? Let's use an example from the Bible in Matthew chapter 19. Matthew chapter 19, verses 5 and 6. Matthew chapter 19, verses 5 and 6. Jesus said, in verse 4, he says, have you not read that he made them at the beginning male and he made them female? And said, for this reason a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. The two shall become one flesh. So then they are no longer two, but one flesh. Therefore what God has joined together, let not man separate. Now how is a man and a woman two different beings when they become married? He says they become one flesh. How are they one? Does that mean that they're no longer two individual beings anymore? Does that mean that they're just somehow, wham, boom, they're just one from then on? No. But they are one in purpose. They're one in agreement. They're one in life. They are one family. We understand that, right? Just like the marriage or family, the Godhead is one in their plans and their purpose. They are in agreement with one another. All these things, this is how they are one. Okay, this is an example of how they are one. Another example would be the church. The church in John chapter 17, in verse 20 beginning. In John chapter 17, notice what Jesus said. This is Jesus' prayer. Okay, right before he's going to be betrayed and crucified on the cross. Notice what he says. John 17 and verse 20. Neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word, that they all may be one, as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. And the glory which thou gavest me, I have given them, that they may be one, even as we are one, I in them and thou in me, that they may be made perfect in one, that the world may know that thou hast sent me and hast loved them, and thou hast loved me. So you see, you understand what he's getting at there, what Jesus is hoping, or he's not hoping, he's praying to God. Okay, that they may be one as we are one. And that goes back to the one in purpose, one in thought, one being united together, right? The same plans, the goals, all of the things there that the Godhead has, He hopes that the church is going to have that, right? They want to have that same type of unification. So how are we united? How are we united as the church? We're not united through the Word of God, right? And that's how we are made one, through the Word of God. And so there's an example there in that. A couple of other examples, if you will. You think about this. If you compare the Godhead to humanity, right? All human beings make up humanity, right? You can have all these distinct individuals, but you say there's only one humanity, right? There's only one humanity, but there's all humans inside of it make up humanity. Well, it's just like that with the Godhead. You have three divine beings, but they make up deity. They make up the Godhead, okay? Those three are one. You understand? They have the same attributes. Okay, and then you can go on to what are the attributes of God. We didn't even get into that, but you can talk about a lot of different things. But you understand what I'm saying, right? They're all one in this way. This is an example from the world, a kind of a crude example, if you will. But let's think about a football team. Right, the Tennessee Titans. Now, when I start saying football, everybody wakes up, right? Oh, football, right? Football playing? It's not football time right now, but listen to me. The point is this. I want you to think about this. The Tennessee Titans, this is a team that is made up of different people. Right? There's all different people on the team. Yet they are all Titans. Right? They are all part of the Titans. They are all one team. The Godhead is much like a team name, if you will. Okay, the Godhead refers to God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. They're three distinct beings. They're all different, but they're all part of the same deity. Okay, the same divine nature, if you will. Okay, so these three that make up God, each have individual work that they do. Okay, individual labor. Each person has his own work. For instance, we've already looked at the creation. Right? God the Father tells us that He planned everything in the creation. Ephesians 3 talks about that, but you can go through that and read that. God the Son, He was the one that created the things that were planned by the Father. We read John 1, 1 through 3. Notice what it says, all things were made by Him. It's talking about God the Son. He made everything, and without Him was not anything made that was made. The Holy Spirit also had a role in creation. Okay, we looked at Genesis 1 and verse 2. Okay, you can also turn to Isaiah chapter 40 and verse 13 that talks about the Spirit of God in this. Okay, and some people have actually called Him the lawgiver, the Holy Spirit being the lawgiver. He gave the natural law in things. So you see the work of each one in the creation of man, but you also see the work in each one in the creation of the church, or in the creation of the scheme of redemption, if you will. Okay, the Father planned it. Ephesians chapter 3, verses 10 and 11. Okay, it was His eternal purpose. The Son built it or created it. What did He create? Matthew 16, verse 18. Upon this rock, I said, thou art Peter. Upon this rock, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. You see, God the Son had His part in the scheme of redemption. It was part of God's plan before the beginning. Jesus, He built it. He built the idea, or He built the church. He died for it. He purchased it with His own blood. And then the Holy Spirit gave the law in the scheme of redemption. John 16 and verse 13. The Spirit of truth, when He comes, He will guide you into all the truth. That's what we have today, brethren. It's the Word of God. It's all the truth. You see all of the three working together. They are united. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. Deuteronomy 6 and verse 4. They are one, as in united, united in purpose, united in plan. The Almighty God works through His Son. His Son works through the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit works through the Word of God. This is the plan of God. It all is about the Godhead or the deity. Okay? And His plan is to save us. So, brethren, as we close this morning, I thank you for your attention. There is one true God. or Godhead in the sense that there is one humanity. We talked about that. The God is composed of three persons: God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. These three work as one in unity to accomplish the work of creation and salvation of our souls. Now, brethren, as we talked about this, all three persons of the Godhead want you to be saved. All three persons of the Godhead. Look at the work that they did, and they want you to be saved. They want you to obey the gospel. They want you to become Christians so you can have a home with them for all of eternity. If you're here this morning and you're not a child of God, I hope and pray that you'll think about your life and you'll turn to Him. God, our concept of God, we only know through the natural universe and what He has revealed to us. But He has revealed enough to us to show us that He cares about us and that He loves us. And He's done everything He can in order for us to be saved if we will just turn to Him, if we will just accept it. We're about to sing the song, "Be With Me, Lord." Brethren, I'm going to tell you, you can't make it without Him. You can't make it without the Lord. And the only way that you can sing, "Be With Me, Lord," is if you're willing to be with Him. He's not going to force anyone to come to Him. We can help you this morning anyway in becoming a Christian or turning to God. Please come while we stand and sing.